Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Wednesday, January 11th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. On June 8th, 1967, the USS Liberty was floating in international waters. Across the water, the Six-Day War was taking place. Out of nowhere, and we want to be very specific about this because there's still a lot of propaganda and misinformation taking place. On June 8, 1967, the USS Liberty was savagely and deliberately attacked by the nation of Israel. This was a premeditated attack, and what they wanted to do was completely sink the USS Liberty. By some miracle, this didn't take place, and we're lucky enough now, I think this is the seventh or eighth interview we've done with either survivors of the USS Liberty or researchers into this matter. Today we have Mr. Gary Brummett on our show, and we're very pleased to hear what he has to say about this event. So, Gary, thanks for coming on Wing TV today.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me. I thank you for the previous five crewmen, plus Admiral Merlin Starring, who I think was your last guest.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Liberty. Yeah. And, well, before we jump into the questions, is there any websites or anything else you'd like to let people know about that they can find out more information about the attack on the USS Liberty?
There are a couple of sources. I would direct anyone to, or anyone listening, to go to ussliberty.org.
Okay.
It is a web page that that was created by Jim Ennis and Joe Meadows, two fellow crewmen. It covers the whole gauntlet about the Liberty, what has happened, everything that has happened. A great deal of our information is there on their site.
Right.
I would also suggest a tape, and that is the Dead in the Water tape.
Right.
And it's a fairly recent tape. It's a couple of years old that gives a little bit of a different slant about the Liberty and all that was going on that day.
Yeah. And one last thing we should mention is that Gary is also the president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association, which is comprised of survivors of this attack. So, Gary, you ready to jump into this?
Yes, sir. I'll do my best.
Okay.
We have been working very hard to create a comprehensive compilation of current day testimonials from the crewman, Mr. Brummett, so I'm very, very happy that you're able to be with us. Okay. After the USS Liberty was attacked by Israel, June 8, 1967, what were you told to do and say while the ship was in dry dock in Malta?
Well, we got to Malta, I want to think, on June 13th. It took us 5 days sailing after the attack to make a safe harbor there in Valletta, Malta. And before we really were given shore leave or liberty, all of the crew, of course, all the injured men had already been medevaced to the America and the Saratoga, mm-hmm. or the ships that came to our aid on June 9. But when we got to Malta, we were not allowed to leave the dry dock area until we had been kind of debriefed or talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And the group that I was in, there was 14 or 15 of us. We went up to the mess decks, and there was a Navy lieutenant and a lieutenant commander. Now, the lieutenant did all the talking, and they advised us that under no circumstance could we give interviews to newsmen, because there were a few newsmen there in Malta wanting mm-hmm. to do some interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We were told, you know, in correspondence with home, to let our families know that we were okay, give them a general idea when we would get back stateside, but we were not to talk about what had happened or what we knew about what had happened because of national security reasons.
Right.
Now, I was a 20-year-old third-class petty officer in engineering, and I was somewhat naive to be polite, to be gentle on myself. And I left that debriefing, for the lack of a better word, under the impression if I said or did anything, I would be bringing dishonor to my crewmen, and I would be betraying my government.
Well, that's a good point. Well, Gary, what were people saying during these 5 days? Because when this attack happened, it must have been the most extreme thing that had ever happened in any of your lives. What were you talking about from the point when this attack finally ceased until 5 days later when you made it into Malta.
To each other.
Yeah, to each other.
You know, back at the time, and I'll bring up a point that may not be of interest to anyone. We were less than 2 days sailing time from Suda Bay Creek, which had a dry dock that was large enough to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we steamed over 1,200 miles 5 days with a 22 by 39 foot hole in our starboard side. And I have always felt that the forward bulkheads, which were shored up, had a gave way. There's a good chance that ship would have sank. Now, I was scared to sleep in my rack at that point in time.
I can't blame you.
Up in either on the main deck or even in a compartment with a door open to the main deck in case such happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we couldn't figure out what happened, why it happened. I mean, how in the devil could you attack an American ship that was 455 feet long, 11,000 or 10,800 tons? I mean, here we had every kind of an American marking on us you could have. GPR-5 on the front.
Well, and a huge American flag sailing in the air.
And the huge American flag. Now, you mentioned the flag. I want to add something there. There's been a lot of people have said that the flag was not flying. Well, I have photographs. I think that some of these photographs are up on our website at USSLiberty.org.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, our flag was hanging limp at the mast. If you look at the pictures taken of the Liberty on June 9th, the morning of June 9th, from the flight deck of the USS America, they were off our starboard side, you can see the Holiday Ensign virtually fully extended, plus two pennants it was flying from the main mast. And if you will note the seas were calm that day. That morning it was just a little faint ripple. And we're sitting dead in the water, and this flag's extended. Well, now, when we were doing 17 or 18 knots, our top speed prior to the torpedo hitting us, that would equate to about a 20-something mile-an-hour breeze under that flag.
Yeah, there's no mistaking it. There's no mistaking it.
There's no relative possibility that you could not have seen the flag.
That's right.
Further evidence of that, if you look at the burn patterns on the ship, you'll not find any burns on our stack except at the very base.
Mm-hmm.
The flag from the water line of the ship to the top of that mast is 125 feet.
Mm-hmm.
The flag could not have been obscured by smoke because going, well, like I say, let's just say we had a 20-mile-an-hour headwind while we were under attack and we're fleeing, the smoke trailed off from behind the ship. It did not go straight up.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. Now, Gary,
maybe that is inconsequential, but these are provable facts.
Right.
Oh, I think that's very, very important because that's one of the big fallbacks that the detractors use. Now, what statement did Captain Ward Boston make in 2003, just a couple years ago, in regard to the cover-up of this event?
Captain Ward Boston, let me give you a little prelim on him. He and Admiral Isaac Kidd were the two investigating officers in regard to the attack on our ship. Kidd brought the report back to Washington, D.C., and he had to sit down with two lawyers, either from the White House or the Pentagon. He did not remember who these individuals were attached to. Now, they rewrote and excised out some of the parts that was taken in the original Naval Court of Inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Ward Boston, for 35 years, he sat quiet. He didn't say anything. Boston signed a sworn affidavit, which I and many of us have. I think it's on the USSLiberty.org site. And we also have him on a DVD stating that after the federal magistrate from Florida, A.J. Crystal, wrote his book of lies and half-truths, he had to speak out about what really happened. And, you know, he stated that they knew, he and Admiral Kidd knew, that the attack was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
There's no earthly way that it could have been an accident.
Absolutely.
And if, you know, you look in Crystal's book, he talks about our flag not flying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've got proof easy enough from enough crewmen.
Absolutely.
And like I say, from comparative pictures with us
Right. Gary, what do you think about the special interest in Washington, D.C. now concerning the Jack Abramoff and AIPAC scandal?
Well, I think that is just, I think that gives the American people a little slight glimpse into what really goes on in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
My personal feeling is lobbyists should, no one should be able to lobby a congressman or a senator. Now, Abramoff is a lobbyist. You have other groups up there, the Israeli, the American Israeli Political Action Committee, or Public Affairs
yeah.
Committee, I think they call themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is a group of people that wield so much power, so much money, and so much influence. Our elected congressmen and senators from the various states, they are terrified to do anything that would go counter to what the state of Israel wants. Now, Israel, I have no problem with their existence, and they have their own agenda, but America should have our own agenda, and we shouldn't allow an outside source influence us so greatly.
Yeah, we've
and
said
our
that.
Elected officials shouldn't be terrified by them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've said that many times.
And I'll give you a classic example. Came across this the other day. There was a vote to make January Jewish History Month.
Right,
like
right.
February is Black History Month. And the vote on this was 423-0. Now there was
that's almost unanimous.
You know, voted against it. There were 423 voted for it, and 12 weren't present.
Uh-huh.
And it just goes to show how when anything comes up for the state of Israel, how they vote. I mean, I realize they're terrified because if you go back and you look at in the last 38 and a half years since our attack, we've had 7 or 8 congressmen come forth and try actually to help us. Each one of them has been defeated for re-election to their congressional seat. One ran for the Senate out in California, and there was millions of dollars thrown against him in support of the other candidate, and he lost that seat. The most recent incident was a Cynthia McKinney from, I believe it's the 4th District in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She was defeated a couple of years ago because in 2002, I believe it was, she, on the House floor, requested a congressional investigation into this attack.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, Gary.
Beg your pardon?
Speaking of that, very quickly, how many authentic investigations have there been into the attack on the USS Liberty?
May I read you a piece of a letter that I have?
Okay, go ahead.
Sure.
It said, to answer your question, there's never been but one, and that was the bogus original Naval Court of Inquiry.
Right.
But I have this in front of me. I can provide it to you or anybody else that's of interest. Well, I won't read it. It was an associate of ours from the state of Connecticut had written to Representative Bob Simmons. And in this letter, and it's dated March 2005, it says that that Department of Navy letter responded officially to a congressional inquiry from Representative Simmons concerning the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty on 8 June 67. The department stated in its letter that the Navy Court of Inquiry, which had been ordered by the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Naval Forces in Europe, who was Admiral John McCain, who was Senator John McCain's dad.
His name keeps popping up.
United States Naval Forces in Europe on 10 June 67 to inquire into the circumstances surrounding the 8 June attack on the Liberty was, now this is the part I want you to listen to, was the only United States government investigation into that attack.
That's right.
Very good.
We talked about that when Admiral Starring was on the show.
Admiral Starring was the one that provided this information for us. He got it through a fellow associate of his, and like I just said, someone that is a supporter of ours.
Okay.
I didn't mention his name because I didn't have I hadn't contacted him and asked permission to use it.
Oh well, I'm sorry if we don't have his permission, but he's a great guy. I wanted to say his name.
I'm sure he would have given it. I just hadn't.
Okay.
That's reason I didn't use the individual's name.
Gary. Tell us about an individual named Lloyd Painter and what happened to his testimony in that bogus Naval Court of Inquiry.
Okay. Well, I got got to tell you this before I tell you that, to answer your question. Here, a few months back, I had Lloyd write me up a letter, which I have the letter, and Ernie Gallo, who is the vice president of the organization, mm-hmm. someone that y'all have already interviewed.
Right.
Ernie has a copy of this letter also. But I asked Lloyd to write up his recollection of the attack, which he did for me. Mm-hmm. Now, in the attack, Lloyd was ordered, you know, we were ordered to stand by to abandon ship. The mess decks on our ship was made into a triage. Mm-hmm. It was covered with wounded people. It was kind of like a damn slaughterhouse is what it really looked like. A surreal scene would be the best way I could describe it. Lloyd was to try and move the wounded and injured up to the main deck to get them off the ship. When Lloyd went up topside, starboard, popped a hatch to go outside, he observed one of the motor torpedo boats machine gunning some life rounds that had been put over the side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some say, well, he's the only one that told this story. We have another crewman who is a fellow board member, Glenn Oliphant, also witnessed this. But Lloyd's testimony in the original Naval Court of Inquiry, it was one of the items that was excised out from the original thing.
Who excised it out?
Right, Ward Boston. You know, it was taken out so to tone down what Boston and Kidd had done and to make our government's story and Israel's story more closely jive. And I want to add something.
Well, Gary, let me jump in here 1 second, please. As before the show today, I was also reading that there were three separate people in the intel field that independently all said that the USS Liberty was being attacked by Israel, but all of their testimony was also excised out of the final report too, wasn't it?
I cannot answer that question for you honestly. If I could, I would, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to say anything that I cannot absolutely prove or have personal knowledge of myself.
Okay.
Okay? But to get back to Lloyd Painter, Lloyd, this character in Florida, that federal magistrate, he tried to kind of discount Lloyd and act in a disparaging manner toward him. Well, Lloyd Painter was an officer in the United States Navy. Lloyd was a straight-up guy. He got out of the Navy. He spent a few years. I'm not sure exactly what Lloyd did. But when he left, or after he was out of the Navy,
mm-hmm.
he said he knew that things were not right that day. He said he knew that there was a fix being put in.
Mm-hmm.
But Lloyd is a retired Secret Service agent, someone that guards the president, presidential candidates, and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd Painter is of impeccable credentials, and for him to tell me something, I would believe it, and I would go so far as to say I would stake my life on what the man said.
Yeah.
He is an honorable patriotic, or an American patriot to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, when this attack happened, the men in your division stayed in the fire room of the USS Liberty, pretty much knowing that death was at hand.
Right.
And also, when I was reading a little bit about you before the show, you said that you've suffered from what could be called survivor's guilt. So what has the last 38 years been since this attack? What's it been like for you? And also, what must it have been like knowing for these men that did die, what must it have been like that day? Can you explain to us?
Myself, when we were under attack, of course, my GQ station was L1 level port. We set closed port holes, dog down hatches, reported back to the mess deck, and then the engineers were sent back to engineering spaces. And I had helped bring the port boiler back online. It had been offline. I'm standing between the boilers with my back to our fuel oil heater, and I would be looking astern on the ship, but I'm trying to keep an eye on our gauge board. The area where I was at is like the inside of a five-story building, so mm-hmm. like embassy suites with the atrium in the middle.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That'd be kind of like the spaces I worked in. There's no watertight integrity or anything there. reading on our equipment. And, you know, they pass the word stand by for torpedo attack, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ. Here I'm about 12, 14 feet below the water level where I was at. Mm. And the first one missed us, and I thought, thank God we're safe. And then just moments later, the word came down, stand by for torpedo attack, stand by for impact, something to that effect, starboard side. And I had backed away from the gauge board a little bit, and I was standing in the front of the boilers, and I was looking at the starboard bulkhead, and I was waiting on the torpedo to come through it. I didn't run, as my fellow VTs did. I felt like that I was fixing to die, and I'll tell you a strange story that you may not believe.
Well, we got about 2 or 3 minutes left, Gary, so...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, but you had asked what the last 38 years have been like. Well,
Well, what was it like then, too, knowing that, I mean, you could have very well be dead right now. I mean,
well, you know, that... I got out of the Navy in December the 15th, and I just, you know, I put it all behind me. It was kind of like a surreal, just a bad damn nightmare.
Were you injured, Gary?
Minor injuries. We had some shrapnel peppered us down there from crap that got into us. Because the ship had 821 penetrations plus a torpedo hole.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remained silent for many years, and I'm retired from the United States Postal Service.
Uh-huh.
And I learned early on that you don't get involved in anything controversial, and everybody in an organization that stepped up to that, they've immediately been attacked. As hell, I've been attacked. I've had people tell me that what kind of worthless so-and-so I was and that I should have died that day.
Now, well, let me ask you this, Gary. How can the public best help you? This is a public record, what you all are doing when you come on our show.
The best way that the American public could help us, you know, I can say contact your congressman or senator.
They're not going to do
but
anything.
Like I've said earlier, when you see a vote of 423 zip, it's going to be real hard to get one of them to speak out. They're scared to death.
Yep.
But I still would encourage you to do that. If anybody wanted to donate to what is probably is going to happen for us to get all war crimes investigated, the executive branch of government has denied us. The legislative branch of government has denied us for this 38 and a half years. Our last best chance, as I told a bunch of admirals, is this war crimes report, and it's going to have to be in the judicial branch. A rule of law is what is going to have to apply to us. In this country, as we were warned by our first president to avoid any passion and attachment to a foreign state, I think we need to learn to do that, because 9/11 and so many events in the last 15 or 20 years, let's say from the Marine barracks in 83, it is a direct result of our environment and our failed Middle East policy. It is a failed policy. It has not worked. We have got to get away from it. I'm not worried about myself. I'll be 60 years old my birthday, but I've got scads and nieces, nephews, great nephews and nieces, and they're the ones that are going to inherit this ungodly nightmare.
And it is a nightmare.
You know, Gary, I've stayed up many a night thinking about you and your fellow crewmen, and I've lost quite a few nights sleep over you, and I do hope that we can get some progress with this war crimes report.
Well, Lisa, y'all are doing a fantastic job. Everybody that hears this, that's that many more people that knows. The greater, it's hard to dismiss tens of thousands of people demanding,
right.
Hey, let's look at this. This needs to be investigated. This needs to be looked at.
Public pressure.
We all know that Roosevelt allowed Pearl Harbor to take place. We all know the Tonkin Gulf story was a Lyndon Johnson's, some of his garbage.
And 9/11 was a complete ruse. So
right.
I hope that I live long enough for this government to finally allow the facts to come forward and be known. That the Liberty incident was no accident. There's no possible way. You don't attack the ship the size we were with the markings that we had, the antenna array, the electronic gear, the signet equipment that was on that ship. There was no ships in any Navy in the world.
Well, Gary,
it was my home for 20 months. I have tried to do what I'm doing for the guys that got killed. Hell, I've been one of the lucky ones.
Yeah. Well, we're
I've had
so thankful.
Years free since then.
Yeah. We're so thankful that you came on the show today, and I can't even imagine the hell that you guys must have went through, not only that day, but in all the years following that, knowing that this cover-up ensued. So
and we just want to thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
That's the hard part, the frustration of knowing the truth and being unable to get our government to listen.
We can empathize with that.
Mr. Thorne, I appreciate y'all very much from the bottom of my heart.
We appreciate you.
I pray that y'all continue to allow different crewmen to speak.
Well, Gary, we're not going to forget about this issue. We're not going to allow it to be buried. And as long as we're doing Wing TV, we're going to keep bringing this subject up. So thank you once again. And we just want to tell everyone out there, think about what this man and so many of his mates went through that day.
Check out their websites and support the Liberty Veterans.
That's
just like we need to support all of our veterans. These people served their country honorably. Many of them gave up their lives.
These guys are heroes. Now tomorrow we're going to be back on Wing TV with Mr. Ralph Epperson. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.